It is recording, so we'll just do like a 3-2-1 or something, or I'll just keep everything.
All right, so.
Yo, Mudkip, welcome to the stream, man. Mwah, well, love you.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Howdy, howdy.
Recording and live on Guided Stream. This is the first Unlimited podcast. We don't exactly have a format for this yet.
I guess Guided probably also has the VOD of this. We'll be able to get.
Probably.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, dude. So
we're planning on talking about Apex a little bit and kind of just the Battle Royale scene in general. I have not actually played the game, so I'll probably be asking a lot of new questions, but I think that's actually a good thing. Diedrich just started playing, and Guided and Miles have played a fairly decent amount. Guided's actually practicing for an upcoming tournament, and Miles, what's your situation right now, Miles? Why don't we kind of kick off by giving some of our experience?
Some of our experience? Well, I mean, I guess I'll kick it off. Do you want experience like for battle royales or just shooters or gaming in general? Like,
we'll keep it pretty short because we don't want to dominate the whole beginning.
Short and sweet. Yeah. All right. So, got into competitive gaming around Black Ops 2. I've done my fair share of game battles. Done a couple of tournaments here and there. Nothing too serious. And then battle royales. Like once PUBG came to Xbox, is when I started getting into battle royales. Fortnite dropped. Played that from day one. Played PUBG. I've played Blackout now in Black Ops 4, and Apex is the newest game. I'm not really practicing for any tournaments or anything, but it's probably something that I'll fuck around with once in a while. Swearing's cool, right? We're keeping this real raw, right?
No, yeah, okay. Whatever.
Me. Like, it just, I don't know, it's more authentic to me.
No, I hear you there, definitely. Yo, dude, drop that career, dude.
Wait, is that me? Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking to Diedrich. George.
Okay, it almost sounded like G. So?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was like, huh?
All right, so to George then.
What's up?
Yo, bro. Your career, bro. We're dropping the experience.
Just
my experience. Well, for the past few years, I've been doing just pretty much marketing and digital.
No. Like, no, esports. You are listening.
For esports?
For gaming.
For gaming. Yeah. You know, I pretty much just play a little bit of everything. I haven't really focused on anything too much. I'm playing Apex right now, I guess. But, yeah, I guess I played a ton of Fallout 3 and, like, the Fallout game was my thing.
All right, so Diedrich brings that casualness to the... To it, wink, wink. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
So, and then guide it. Drop it.
I was 1993 and 1994 blockbuster.
Blockbuster back to back, two time champion.
Two time champion. Yeah, dude. Legit.
Won all the locals.
Legit. I started playing competitive Call of Duty back when I was like 12. When I was in the Modern Warfare 2 era, started doing more gang battles in Call of Duty Ghost. Was a part of a CS:GO team for a little while.
Oh, then yeah.
That didn't work out because we just stopped playing. Pretty much now doing Apex Legends. Background in like battle royales. My first battle royale I played was H1Z1 when it was in its prime.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
Moved to PUBG, then pretty much played almost every battle royale that came out.
Okay.
So yeah. I got to ask this then, because I didn't know that you started around MW2 time. Mm-hmm. What were you playing on?
And 360.
Are you still good?
What?
Well... Do you have a 360? Do you have Modern Warfare 2 on any form of Xbox?
I mean, I have Modern Warfare 2 on a 360, but I don't have my 360 with me.
Damn.
But I have Modern Warfare 2 on Steam, so, you know, you can hit me up on there. It's the same thing with the controller.
Okay. I'm just thinking we're, like, just going to start, like, a 1v1 series or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we could. I'll 1v1 you right now on Rust. How about that?
All
right,
you take Rust, I'll take Scrapyard.
Okay, but I'm going to use mouse and keyboard.
All
right. Ooh. Yeah, dude.
Better not lose
it. All right, and then are we going to go with Thomas's all background in gaming? Because I feel like that's extensive.
I'm not going to go off very long. I used to
be a pro at Halo.
Well, I've got 10 years of experience. I played a lot of competitive Halo. I've played a lot of just stuff. Went to tournaments with UMG Ref, ran an esports organization. I've won like small tournaments, placed top 32 at major tournaments. I've got some really good free for all placings. So if I have any experience, is you know as far as battle royale goes, it'd be that. But I have no experience actually in battle royale itself.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in this with a lot of general esports, you know, competitive knowledge. Mm-hmm. But with zero battle royale experience, so
gotcha.
Going to be taking a back seat to this. So I actually want to kick off a question. I actually want to ask you guys, why do you think that like all of a sudden the industry has shifted to battle royale like this? Like, why is this the new thing?
Yeah, one, it is a new thing because it's mainly catching the eye of like mini game developers. Like, hey. These people like this style of game, you know what I mean? So they're just gonna start pumping this shit, you know, stuff out.
For you guys, like, what are you hooked on about the battle royale? Because you guys, you know, you said for yourself, you played H1Z1, and you
I played Minecraft Hunger Games as well. So yeah.
Did you play Fortnite or Blackout battle royale?
I played Fortnite. I was pretty good at season 2, but then just stopped playing. And I played Blackout a lot when it first came out.
What's the deal then? Like, do you just prefer like these battle royale games now? Because you played a lot of battle royale at this point. Like, you probably still play more like team based than battle royale, right? I figure.
Yeah, just so it's all about. It's the teamwork, pretty much. The fact that it requires you can go in solo, but. I like the team base, you know, with squads and stuff like that. Just it makes it more interesting. What gets me hooked though is like the fact that you know you're going against a bunch of different people, and it's just like whoever can come on top is the victor. You know what? You know what I mean? It's like the fact that oh wow, I just beat 99 people. Like that means I'm better than these people. Or the fact that in Apex you're in a squad of 3 and you go against 60 people. Like, wow, I'm better than like
the other 57 other squads.
Yeah. I'm better than other 57. Yeah. It's just the fact that, you know, you can hold yourself victorious and
so,
you know,
for me, similar
winner chicken dinners.
But so it sounds like you like the team bait, like you prefer to play in squads and stuff.
Well, I'm not sure. Or are you talking to guided or
I'm talking to guided. Cause the whole time I'm listening, I'm thinking how that compares to like my mindset, and some of the things are similar but also radically different. So similar to you, Thomas, I mean obviously you did like a lot of free-for-all in Halo primarily, it seems like, but
my best placings in Halo, I placed top 32 in 500 plus tournaments that had pros in them.
Yeah,
so it was pretty-
for me, free-for-all was in 1v2 is when I got hooked on free-for-all, because it was like you didn't have to worry about your team, it was just you. And it's like, I don't know, something about that level of like accountability. It's like, it's all you versus everyone else. Like, you don't have to worry about teammates letting you down. You don't have to worry about you letting your team down. Like, a solo operation. And then once Battle Royales came out, one, like PUBG obviously blew up. I didn't really know too much about H1. Like, I'd heard about it. I know it's spot now. Like, I respect H1Z1's prime because I've done my research. But PUBG came out and like you saw clips all the time. It looked like a ton of fun, and the reason it clicked for me was kind of as Guido was saying, like if you come out on top, it's hey, you know, I outperformed at this point anywhere from like, you know, 50 to 100 players essentially, depending on what game.
Yeah.
But for me, I've actually played a ridiculous amount of solo, and I play mostly solo.
Really?
Yeah, like I've had teams and stuff. I've played with teams, but if something doesn't go the way I want it to go, I have issues. Like, I'm not a great team player sometimes because I want things to go so perfect. Like, I'm really anal about it, and people don't always like teaming with an anal player.
Yeah, and they really don't.
But
I think it depends. You know,
it does depend. It does depend. Some people view it positively as like it's just constant constructive criticism and improvement.
If it's constructive, yeah, absolutely. Because there's obviously people who will, you know, you know, they just don't want their own reputation or ego, you know. Mm-hmm.
But so for me, the reason battle royales are so fun is because, one, every match is different. Like, the circle isn't going to end in the same spot every time. It's like, if you're playing a normal free-for-all game, like in Call of Duty, it's like, if you really wanted to, you could sit in the same little corner of the map and just spawn kill the same three players and come out on top. And, like, whereas that does take a certain level of skill and knowledge, because you have to know the spawns and you do have to pay attention to things, and I think some games show that more than others. Battle Royale, you don't have that. You're constantly moving. There's an entire map that you can get shot from. You have to know when and how and where to rotate, whether you're playing solo or with a squad. So every match can be different. Mm-hmm. I've always found it, because like, I used to be a real grinder in COD. Like, in Modern Warfare 3, I got all the camos. Black Ops 2, I got all the camos. Black Ops 4, I have all the camos. And when you get all the camos in every single gun, you learn how to use every single gun really efficiently.
Definitely.
And when you drop into a battle royale, you don't know if you're going to have the same loadout every time. So you kind of have to get good with everything. And like, sure, there might be certain guns that you're better with. Like, if you look at most pro PUBG teams or really any battle royale, like, they usually will have a dedicated sniper who's just nasty. But you know what? He can also hold his own with any of the other guns. He just happens to be really good with the sniper. So every match is different. Your loadout's always different. You kind of have to be well-rounded. Just, I don't know, everything's like, it's a different game every time you play. And it keeps you coming back.
Fair enough. It's interesting because at the same time, I mean, if it's different every time, that also means that there's a little bit of a randomness element every single time.
Yeah, like, too. I definitely think that Battle Royales as an esport doesn't work. Like, it works because people like watching it. It works because of viewership. Mm-hmm. But from a truly competitive standpoint, it will never work.
Fair enough. So where do you think the meta is going to head to? And what is working right now? What's popular with the meta? What you know, is the most common strategy? Is there even a defined strategy generally right now? Or are people kind of going off like what they've like learned in past battle royales and applying it?
You mean for Apex specifically, right?
Exactly.
Since this is more of an Apex-y podcast with...
Yeah.
Yeah. The meta, the current meta right now, Guided, I'll let you answer this first because you're playing.
Yeah, actually, Guided, good point.
Because he's actually, he's practicing for a tournament, or I can go first and then you can come in with more of a competitive standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you rather do that?
Yeah, sure.
So, one, gun-wise, I would say the current meta is almost every player has a Peacekeeper shotgun.
Hold on, I will let you know that I will already go ahead and step in. They already nerfed it.
Oof. Did they release an update today? I've been at work all day.
Yeah, they released an update. I think it was like a soft patch or something, but some shots now with the Peacekeeper only does 7 damage.
Dude, what? Okay, this is gonna piss me. What was that, Thomas? Before I fucking
Well, I just want to know, do you know your numbers then perfectly? Like, do you know the DPSs and the drop offs for the guns and everything like that? Like the exact ranges and numbers?
I tend to. It's more like I don't.
Kind of I don't know the numbers, kind of a feel for it.
I have an automatic feel. Like
it's like, you know, at a certain range, you know if you're gonna hit for higher or low numbers. Yeah.
Yeah, on Battlefield, I literally like learned the exact drop off.
Dude, I did that in Battlefield 3.
Yeah.
Battlefield 3, dude, I was like, every scope, I knew which mil dot had which range.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I literally had fucking cheat sheets for all this shit until I memorized it all.
Yep.
And the bad part is, I never got super nasty. I just didn't play the game enough.
Weird, man. That's the weird game.
Yeah. So
what were you going to say that's pissing you off?
Okay, so Fortnite, literally the moment that Fortnite started to kind of go downhill is when they made shotguns not as viable. I truly think, and Guided, you can either correct me or agree with me on this because you played H1Z1, you've played PUBG probably more than I have. Fortnite, I've definitely played more than you. Apex, I imagine Apex is fairly close. But I feel like for a Battle Royale, and you've probably played more Blackout than me as well, I feel like for a Battle Royale game to do well, you need to have a shotgun that is solid.
Yeah.
Like,
interesting.
It's weird. Not, I feel like actually in PUBG, that's not as true. But every, like, Fortnite, there was a moment in Fortnite, I don't remember what season, but shotguns were virtually useless. Across the board, yeah. Like, all of them were pretty trash. It's because they basically, they nerfed them, and then they did a nerf to that, but the second nerf made it to where they never needed the first nerf, but they had both. So they basically were, like, stacking nerfs on top of one another.
Yeah, and it completely messed it up.
Yeah, it made shotguns irrelevant for a good chunk of time, and that's probably the worst that Fortnite has ever been. In Blackout, if you... what's the... The MOG 12? The pump? I mean, even shotguns in Blackout aren't even that great, but they're usable at least.
Well, okay, so two things, questions now, because I want to like, you know, talk about some shotguns and other games that I think are really great. Do you guys ever play Gears of War?
No,
yeah, I have.
Okay, yeah. So the Gears of War shotgun, especially in the first one, I think in the third one, the second, I didn't play Judgment, but the second game sucked ass with the shotgun. But like, without the shotgun, the game would be completely ruined. Like, it would just not be any good, in my opinion. Like, it hinges upon, to some degree, the shotgun. For me, honestly, watching Fortnite, I haven't played it, but I got a similar sense that the shotgun played a similar and pivotal role.
Yeah, like, you need a good shotgun in the game. Oh. And, like, I mean, we're not going to go into the Mozambique, for one.
What's that?
It's a little, like, pistol shotgun thing in Apex. It is... It's the joke weapon. I did work with it the other night, actually, but...
It's a good starter shotgun pistol.
It's a... But PC also plays differently than Xbox. Like, I heard in your stream, I was watching your stream the other night, and you skipped over the Spitfire, and it sounded like you don't even like that gun at all. Mm-hmm. And the general consensus, according to basically everyone I follow on Twitter, is that the Spitfire is hands down the number one gun you want in your hands on console.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be mouse and keyboard versus controller and, like, accuracy and whatnot and aim assist. Yeah. But we are playing, to an extent, a different game because of the systems we're playing on. Mm-hmm. But anyways...
Do you guys remember moving from Xbox 360 to Xbox One and how different it was playing 60 frames per second versus 30? My God, dude. That was such a weird jump.
For me, it wasn't even that. For me, it was the freaking controller. I hated the Xbox One controller at first.
Really? I wasn't bothered by that. I was bothered by the frames per second. Like, big time. Weird.
See, which is weird because now that's 100% something I would notice. I pay attention to frames per second. Fuck, dude, so much. It bothers me because I work in sales at Costco and I'm looking at TVs. Or even when I'm watching shows and I can see that something was recorded at a higher frame per second. Shit bothers me. Sure. But the current meta, again, I would say, and now it may have changed if depending on how much they nerf the Peacekeeper. But I'd say most people carry a Peacekeeper. The Wingman is very high up there. It's basically a revolver pistol that if you have a nasty shot, then it's like one of the best guns. I did some shit with it last night. My God. I think I missed like two bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then after that on console, again, the Spitfire is one of the preferred guns. But really, it's like...
So, Diedrich, sorry, this is your first ever, like, pseudo-competitive online shooter, right?
Yeah.
All right, your mic is super far. Can't really hear you.
Sorry, it is.
How are you feeling about it? You know, coming into this for the first time ever, like, you know, you're essentially entering a whole new world. It's kind of crazy to think about. Like, how are you liking your first taste of, you know, Battle Royale and just competitive gaming in general? Or just, I guess it's not necessarily competitive gaming, but, I mean, you're clearly in there to win. So, I mean, how are you feeling about it? How do you feel about Apex coming from that fresh perspective?
So, of course, it's super fun. But, I don't know, I wish that Apex had a more extensive training level instead of just explaining what the basic controls are. Just because of like the battle royale style of it, you know, like like my first game, I was matched up, and like the other two players had like 300 or 400 kills each, and I had like zero, and they were just total dicks the whole time. because I didn't know what I was doing. And it was just like, guys, I literally haven't played a video game in like 2 years.
For sure.
See, and that's the thing where the gaming community can be great and shit at the same time. Because some players would be like, hey, man, that's awesome that you're picking it back up.
Dude, it kind of depends.
Let's hope this guy get his first win or something.
True.
Nah, but they were just yelling at me like, just fucking quit, dude. It was
dude, that's okay. I'll be for real. I'm one of those toxic people that like do that, to be honest.
I mean, I try not to be, but more so you'll see that side of me in Call of Duty the most.
Okay. I gotta say then, okay, so there are, when I used to play competitive Halo, I would tell people on my team to quit because in Halo, sometimes if you have someone that's just really that bad and they're just feeding the other team kills, it really is better if they
quit. Dude, have you ever played a competitive MOBA?
I've never scrimmed.
I have.
But have you played a MOBA?
Yeah, I played the crap out of MOBA.
Yeah, feeding definitely can help the other team. Fuck.
Dude, yes. Oh my god.
I mean, obviously, holy, it's not so much, not as big of a deal in most shooters because your power doesn't scale with your level.
Yeah,
but
dude.
But one thing we didn't touch on, we didn't hear Guided's perspective on the meta, considering he's been playing it more competitively and on PC.
All right, so the current meta right now, I've been noticing in Apex, it's been some people still use the Peacekeeper. I've noticed that, but I'm trying to stay away from it for a little while. It's the R301. Everybody picks up the R301. That gun is a melt machine.
It'd be similar to like an ACR from Call of Duty.
Yeah,
it's a fully automatic, low recoil, high DPS weapon.
Yeah, it's been R301. I've seen people. It's been Peacekeeper from day one. Wingman. The Wingman is incredible on
PC. Wingman's probably godlike on PC with that mouse and keyboard. Yeah.
And I've been using the Prowler. Prowler is a fucking melt machine.
If you get the attachment, I agree. I mean, it can, even without the attachment, the select fire, it can still be pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But once you get the select fire and you can switch to fully auto, especially if you have a purple heavy mag. Oh my god. I definitely prefer heavy weapons.
If Apex was to roll out a team versus team option and scale down the maps, do you think it would work?
Oh yeah.
How big are the teams?
Well, I mean, like we could do 3v3, 4v4, 5v5. I don't know. Because I
like
don't
a traditional esports type.
Exactly.
Actually, fuck the numbers. I don't care. I've decided the game, it would do well.
It would?
Yeah. So this is the most balanced game I've ever played at launch.
Yeah.
Truly feel like they could never update the weapons and get away with it. Like, the amount of updates you need for the weapons are so minuscule to make them perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking don't know how they did it. Without a beta or, like, anything... Like, they internally tested this. Granted, I don't know if you guys saw, but they...
Respawn is also really good, dude. Respawn is actually,
I didn't play Titanfall 1 and 2. I know the team is a core chunk of Infinity Ward.
It's true.
Yeah. Old Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys know this little tidbit, but Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare and World at War both had a form of a beta. Modern Warfare 2 was only internally tested. They didn't have a live beta. Mm. And at launch, there was some broken shit. Okay, Commando for one, Model 1887s. I feel like that says enough.
I hate Modern Warfare 2, dude.
What?
It wasn't your first COD. That's why.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't.
If it wasn't your first COD, then maybe you had fun on it, but chances are you hated it. For me, it was my first COD, so I love it. But I understand how broken it is. But I think that because it's so broken is why I love it, to be honest.
No.
Like, can we sub you out for Megan for a moment? I feel like you guys have radically different opinions on the game.
Oh, me and Megan?
Yeah.
Radically different.
Like, dude, that's the game she freaking glue up on.
No, man. My memory is like, all right, we got the freaking outrageous lunges. We got, like, noob tubes and, like, outrageous.
Yeah, super broken game. But I think that's what made it fun.
Like akimbo is like, oh my god, dude. Yeah.
But it made it challenging.
Oh my god, you had like the drop grenade.
Dude, honestly though, okay, honestly, getting a nuke and with a, I thought that was just fucking if you're not one man army noob tubing, then getting a nuke in that game is definitely harder than like the rest of the CODs. I feel like there's so many fucking ways you can die in that game that are just ridiculous.
It is, dude.
Like
claymores, dude. Like, oh my god, dude.
Dude,
and just oh man, just everything.
I love reflecting on my play style. And like I went from, I don't know if you guys ever watched Chris Smoove, but like I basically used to do that. I just like camp a domination flag with claymores and scavenger. And now I'm like a very aggressive player.
Yeah, I like to rush people down.
Yeah,
personally.
But
I like to spawn. But kill.
I think Apex, the guns again are super super balanced. I still don't think there's an overpowered legend. Like none of them are OP.
Mastiff sucks. The 50 cal is probably the only.
Oh, the Mastiff shotty?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
For being a gold gun, it sucks. Like I feel like it's just as good as the Peacekeeper, but people are better with the Peacekeeper because they actually can use it every game.
Mm-hmm.
The 50 cal is nasty though if you're good with a snipe.
How much of a difference is there between like these weapons, like from white to gold, and then from you know purple to gold?
So there's no actual rarity on the weapons.
Really?
So if like Fortnite, you have you know a white M16, green, blue, and they all do different damage and whatnot. Apex, you have different ammo types. So you have your heavy weapons use the green ammo, which is the heavy rounds. And that's like the Wingman, the Hemlock, the Spitfire, the Prowler, I'm missing an assault rifle, the Flatline.
The Flatline.
You have your light ammo weapons, you have energy ammo weapons, you have shotguns, and is that it? Light, heavy, shotgun, there's just four, unless you get the 50 cal, which uses... You can only get it out of a package, and it comes with 12 rounds that you can't gain more rounds from. Like, you're just 12 rounds with it. Similar to, like, the AWM in PUBG? Comes with a 300 Magnum, but, like, you can't find it anywhere outside of another crate.
Interesting.
So there's no rarity on the weapons. They just use different ammo types. There is rarity on the attachments. So you can get a white stabilizer for your barrel, a blue or a purple. And technically, there is a gold. It's just super rare. Like, it's rare enough to almost not list it.
So, another question here. EA, obviously, is, like, the funders for this, like, the back-end.
Yeah, the publishers.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like EA, and it's speculated that Apex was actually dropped without EA's permission. What's the word on that?
I don't know. So I have a couple of theories. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. Guide it. Actually, do you?
Yeah. I actually seen a YouTube video about someone explaining this.
Okay.
This is how it's going down. Respawn didn't get dropped by EA. The thing is, I've been hearing and been watching this YouTube video is EA wanted a battle royale game. So they came to Respawn and were like, "Hey, can y'all do this battle royale game?" And they were like, "Okay, yeah, but can we show you this game we've been working on?" So pretty much they showed what they've been working on, and it was a battle royale game. You know, it was Apex.
Yeah.
And so they were like, "Oh, cool. So like, can we start working on it? You know, like, you know, help y'all out." And Respawn said no. They didn't want anything to do with EA on helping the game. The only thing they needed help with was just getting the game out.
Was publishing the game that they had already been working on.
Yep.
Okay. That's interesting. The thing is,
EA cannot do anything about updates. They cannot do anything about releasing new characters. They can't do anything about releasing.
They need to have their hands in stuff. Sorry to cut you off.
Don't have their hands on anything. Well, they don't good. Have their hands.
I have two theories, and it sounds like one of them has just been confirmed by y'all's.
Okay.
And my theory was. The question was, why the fuck is Apex so good and, like, popular? And my theory was, because EA is obviously known for ruining games, right? So I was like, alright, so either Respawn did this shit without EA involved at all, or somehow EA was crazy involved. Like, either EA's involvement is why it's so good somehow, and it's been their lack of involvement making games poor, or it's what we actually know, which is that EA is too overly involved, games are trash, and this happens to be the title that they are not involved in at all.
Dude, that's why Battlefield, when is it, the new one? Battlefield,
exactly. Battlefield 5 is trash?
Yes. Yeah, trash.
It's trash.
Dude. EA. Yeah. And then you know what else game? Dead Space 3.
But you know what's going to... You know what? I think that Apex is... What was that, Diedrich?
I just said Dead Space 3 was awful. I've played all the Dead Space games.
Was because EA told them that it needs to be an action game and like rushed them to like make an action game.
So
they wanted to get crazy sales and it was garbage.
I honestly think that Apex's release and success, that EA is going to not stop making trash games, but I think that all games published by EA are about to be significantly better.
Yeah, because
one with Battlefront 2, okay, EA really noticed how shit they were with Battlefront 2. They did some reflection and went, "We suck." Not that much changed in the actual game, but they did some reflection with that. And then Apex has impacted EA's stocks phenomenally. Like, based on their last reports at the end of 2018, in the first week that Apex was out, like...
They made so much fucking money off of this game, dude.
Dude, have you seen the numbers?
Yeah, I saw the numbers. It's nasty. They pretty much... This game pretty much saved their company at this point.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about saved, because, I mean, they could have a bad year. I think they could take loss and still be okay, because, like, they're essentially... Yeah,
but, dude, no, but so, the because... amount that Apex recovered their stock is insane.
No, for sure, but, like, they're, like, you know, they're a game label. Like, they're...
Yeah, like, they... Fine. Yeah, they're going to be fine unless they really take a dive.
And they own Origin, right?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, besides Steam and Origin, are there any other ones? Because Valve owns Steam, EA owns Origin. Is there any other ones?
Well, you got Discord. They own, like, game.
True, that's fair. They do have a store in there and a library. That's a good point. I'm just wondering...
You have Blizzard.net.
Okay, there we go. Perfect, thank you. I'm asking because we've got, like, we've got more free games coming out, and I think that we're going to start seeing more and more free games. And I'm waiting until we have like that official real Netflix of games where like we have free games we can play for like a monthly thing and legit just have like a gajillion games and just be like, what the hell do I want to play today?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Who do you think's nah? Why not? What's up?
I don't think that's gonna happen.
How come?
Because I don't think Steam will be willing to give up their stocks, and other companies are now trying to do their own thing where they're trying to get their own publishers to release games on their own platform.
A lot of developers, too, are trying to leave publishers and just publish the games. Like, Bungie.
Think about Netflix and, like, Hulu. Netflix has their own officially labeled movies. And so does Hulu. So does YouTube.
Netflix Originals, Amazon. YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazon does. We have these different things. Like how unrealistic is it to say that, like, you know, we'll have, like, hey, this is an Origin Original.
A Steam Original game. You
know, yeah. And then, like...
Yeah,
like,
no, I think that's likely.
Fair enough.
I mean...
How likely do you think it is that one of these companies just implements it altogether? Like as in, like, Netflix just is like, yeah, we're doing games now. Or, I mean, like, we think about, like, Facebook. This is a kind of a weird off-topic thing a little bit, but it's not. But Facebook, like, not only are they getting more into the live stream stuff, I don't know if you guys have seen, but literally on the right side of the screen now when you go on Facebook, it literally has a little thing that has freaking live streams in it, and it's the slider, so you can click and go to the other ones. Have you seen that, guys? Mm-hmm. Literally on the right side, it says gaming videos with a freaking slider, dude. Have you seen it?
So,
yeah.
The first one to do that...
Hold on, let me just say one more time. There's a second thought that goes with that. The other thing is that they're building games into the messenger, and how soon do you think it will be until literally we have just like cross-platform Fortnite just right there in the messenger?
I think that's not far off. Cross-platform is going to be, I'd say in 2 years, cross-platform is going to be like almost every game out there. Fortnite started it. Fortnite has like an open source code of how they initiated cross-platform available for any developer to use.
Which I love.
Granted, there's there's probably some like laws and stuff in contracts where they might be tied and not be able to utilize that, but once the contract ends or something, or if it gets revised, like, I don't know, there's probably some legal shit involved. But it's becoming more and more available. Obviously, all the gamers want it. Sea of Thieves actually just stopped being cross-platform between PC and Xbox.
Really?
I believe so, yeah. Or maybe they just gave them the option to toggle it. I don't know. I don't play the game enough, so.
I play it. I've been running into a lot of Xbox players.
So, Fortnite, cross-platform between everything, obviously. Sea of Thieves, Rocket League, I believe, is you can play with PS4 players if you're on Xbox. I think Rocket League was the second game to do it. Apex is planning on doing it. And we officially got cross-platform between Fortnite on, October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So less than 6 months ago, and a bunch of other games have already started to do it.
Yeah.
What do you think Apex needs to start putting up the numbers that Fortnite's putting up?
It's already... Based on growth, if you look at growth, Apex has already grown faster than Fortnite.
It's true. You're right, but I mean scale. But, I mean the total.
Yeah. Oh, it's gonna beat it in less than couple of months.
I'd give it.
Because there's over 200 million, and I thought there was only like 40 million or 50 million on Apex so far.
Yeah, but Apex has been out for less than 2 weeks.
I know, yeah. But and of course, people aren't getting paid to play the game anymore, like what was happening before. But you don't think it's hype? Like, you think the game? Because I haven't played the game.
No, personally. I think it's solid enough to maintain.
Yeah, because people like Summit 1G stopped playing Sea of Thieves.
Summit 1G single-handedly made Sea of Thieves relevant again. He was the face of Sea of Thieves. He was the fucking Jack Sparrow of that game.
And then he abandoned ship
to play Apex.
And we got Shroud. He's playing this game.
Shroud.
Without a doubt.
Ninja. Got, one of the only Josh top G. streamers that's not playing Apex is Nick Merckx.
Yeah.
Literally. Listen,
Ninja left Fortnite, and he said pretty much, I was watching his stream, he said, I will come back to Fortnite then and there, but I think sooner or later he's just going to drop Fortnite, dude.
Yep.
Just randomly, I think that Ninja's also salty about Fortnite. So
yeah,
yeah, he's been salty about Fortnite because it was the only thing he could play.
So well, that and I covered it a little bit in my review of Apex, in that Epic Games started this transparency thing as a developer, where they kept their community very up to date with what was happening.
Yeah,
and they've since kind of stopped doing that. They've started Epic. Yeah, they're not as transparent now. Like they used to be, so their updates, if I remember correctly, used to go live Tuesday. Well, I guess like Wednesday morning or something, like Tuesday or Wednesday, but you'd be able to read the patch notes before the update, like the day before. So you could know ahead of time what the update was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Complacent? Yes, 100%. So they used to also, on top of putting out their patch notes a little early, they used to put up a state of development video once a week for the Battle Royale segment of the game, and then they later incorporated a Save the World segment. So basically twice a week they had a state of development video that was like 1 to 2 minutes long, just giving their community an update with what they've heard, what feedback, and like what things they're planning on changing. They've gotten real lazy on that end with the videos. Apex, on the other hand, is on Reddit every fucking day communicating with people about issues and what they need to fix and what they have planned. They have a plan. I don't know if you guys know about, like, when Rainbow Six Siege came out, Ubisoft was like, hey, we have a 10-year plan for this game.
Yeah.
They had a 10-year vision for seasons and different operators, etc. Apex.
How fast did they quit that?
What was that?
Are they still doing
it? They're still on track.
Really, for Rainbow Six Vegas.
Rainbow Six Siege.
They're that dedicated.
Yeah.
How is that game doing right now?
Truly, so I think Guy did on stream, said the game was trash. He hates it. But
I mean, I hate it. I hate it, but I'm...
I think its Rainbow esports scene is very underrated, to be honest.
Yeah.
Really?
Yo, Lindsay, how are you doing?
Its esports scene, I think, is real underrated. I don't know if it's they're not promoting it enough, or if there's just... I mean, esports shooters is a pretty saturated market at this point. Like, you have your... It's harder to break out.
Yeah, definitely.
So it could be that, and they could just not be advertising it enough. But the actual events for them, if you see, like, videos and stuff, like, they're nuts. Like, it has a very passionate following, and I think it's got a lot of potential.
Interesting.
It's just a matter of if they can scale it fast enough. But so far, they've been pretty on track with that 10-year plan. But Apex has already announced a 1-year plan for Apex. They announced they're going to have 4 seasons in the first year. I think in June, they're going to add the next couple of legends. They're on Reddit communicating with everybody. They're pushing updates in little... granted, they don't fucking need to update much. Like, they're really... The only major updates they need to do is stability improvements, which every game could always use.
Yeah.
Okay.
And since then, Epic has become a little bit more active with their community. Since Apex's release... Exactly. Since Apex's release, Epic... they had, like, on Reddit, one of the guys in there was like, hey guys, here's some of the stuff you can expect from tonight's update. And it's the first time they've done that in probably like 7 or 8 months.
Nice, dude. That's why you need competition, dude.
Exactly.
Right there.
So,
like, that's beautiful.
I think that Apex is a good enough game to scale over time. And even if it doesn't, it's scaring Epic enough to do what Epic does best, which is what they want to do. Like, I feel like Epic, literally, there's no bad ideas in the studio. I mean, I'm sure it helps as well that the developer and publishers both Epic Games. But I literally feel like people in their office are like, man, we should have a marshmallow concert. Fuck it, do it. Like, I feel like that's what happens. I feel like they get an idea, they think it's cool, they just do it. Which is great.
Okay.
And... you know, you can lead to some pretty hype stuff that way.
Oh yeah.
True. I'm gonna veer a little bit off real fast. I wanna you know, there's something I was thinking about. I don't know if I 100% think this is the case, but I want to ask you guys. We're just talking about oversaturation in the esports area, but I want to talk about oversaturation real quick in the streamer and YouTuber area real fast.
In the content creation area.
Yeah, because there's always that crap you see on TV and stuff like that about, like, oh, you know, get your golden ticket and, you know, get rich. But I feel like to some degree it's kind of becoming more of that. Like, in today's world, like, what do you think about, like, actually, like, trying to make it, and, like, how do you feel about, you know, it essentially being the golden ticket? Because one more point to this is that no matter what, people have to work. Literally, like, we can't all just be streamers. It's literally impossible. We can only have so many streamers because other people have to support that person.
Yep.
Which is how it goes.
Yes and so, no.
All right. So talk to me. What do you think?
Real quick. I mean, I'll say this quick and then let you guys chat and then I'll come back around. Yeah. My reason, yes, we have to have workers is because there's certain... One, not everybody wants to be a content creator. You have people that want to work on cars. You have people that want to be cops, like normal jobs and stuff. Two, if a large chunk of people were content creators, but you all had a merch and you were all fans of someone buying their merch, then you're all kind of supporting each other.
True, but like, I guess there's an economy there.
I think it's possible.
Like, I should buy my merch.
It would just... Nice plug. I'll respect the plug, to be honest.
I like that plug.
My favorite part about Courage is how much he plugs stuff. Like, that's literally my favorite part about him.
Dude, have you seen my streams, dude? I plug my shit all the time.
Yeah.
I don't care. Drop your streams anymore, dude.
I don't see them because I'm not on Twitter enough, dude.
So drop your streams more. So if you guys want to chat in on that, and I'll do some thinking about what my next point will be.
Well, so, I mean, robot, if you want to buy some merch, go ahead and buy some merch.
At this point, I don't think it's impossible at all. Like, I still think it's totally possible. I just think, like, I think that people actually have, like, the wrong idea. I think See, I think that like this is something you'll see with in any every industry is that I think people like the idea of being something but don't actually want to be something. Like I'm gonna make a shot fired here a little bit, and I'm gonna say that like, there are bands who they don't want to be musicians. They just want to be.
They just want the rock star lifestyle.
Yeah, dude. They literally all they want is to be like, yeah, I'm in a band, dude. I'm cool.
So super.
And they're not actually. Yeah, like they're. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's a lot of people in the content area. It's either that, or I think a lot of people would just want a free ride, dude. Yeah. And I think that like that's where a lot of content creators get confused is that it's not a free ride.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like,
people aren't self-aware enough.
Hey, yo, Michael. It's hard to hear you, dude.
You got there, George?
I keep losing connection, like it's pretty bad, so I think I'm gonna dip.
All right, cool. Well, good having you, man. Take it easy.
Yeah, man, yeah. We love peace.
Cool. I actually have your Apex Legends stream up right now, Miles. Like on the side, I'm watching it too. So I've got some Apex stuff to go on.
Was it my one from last night?
It's the two wins back-to-back from February 7th. It's not the one
last time. The YouTube video or the stream?
You did the stream.
Okay.
Oh, man, your review's up to 26 views. That's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's not bad at all.
You need to see it keep getting some more. Guided, did you drop a like on that video, by the way?
What video?
Miles' Apex review.
Oh, no, I haven't. To be honest, I haven't been on YouTube in a little bit. I have to give it a like.
Please do. Drop it a comment too if you don't mind, because comments are a huge ranking factor. And I think that like I was mentioning before, but this is a video that I think potentially could like you know do something because it's already ranking for Apex reviews. Last time we checked,
ranking went down, but I changed a couple keywords to keep it like active.
Cool. Where are you at now?
It dropped pretty far. I'll tell you that. But I think just so many people put out reviews of the game now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You knew that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, Guy, did you have anything to say as far as, like, content saturation?
You mean far as, like, what content is going to go with Apex?
No, just, like, content creators and streamers in general.
The industry.
And yeah, like, is it oversaturated or do people still have a chance?
I mean, I feel like as long as you keep going, you'll eventually have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's just.
I feel like really it's more hard. Down, more about work than chance, to be honest.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to say too. I think that it's really it's heavy in terms of like what you're talking about and who you're talking to, because I think that like inevitably that everyone wants to hear and see certain things, and that there's a niche and there's a group of people for everything that like want certain styles and so forth, and that like you kind of to a certain degree I think have to find those people. I was actually thinking myself recently, part of why I brought this up is that I thought that, you know, me personally, that maybe I could make something out of YouTube if I, you know, stuck to a series of videos and a consistent message. I was kind of getting at this earlier when I was talking to Guided. But I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. Apex content, it seems kind of weird. I don't know. Like, what's the viewership on that? I feel like no one's going to really – I don't know. Like, I think that people would watch tournaments. But the thing is about Apex is that, like, it doesn't have that, like, random funness factor. And what I mean by that is that, like, there's just not, like – just stuff that people can explore and do and like situations and
like,
just,
like the game's weird. Almost too consistent.
Well, kind of almost. I mean, like you're going to get the same thing every time and it's a great game and it's a great experience, but you're not going to have like people playing football like on Fortnite and people doing like random stuff like driving Warhawks on Halo.
It does. Yeah. And
you're not going to have these
things. But that's where I think that it can actually maybe shine as a Battle Royale eSport. Because if you look at Battle Royale eSports right now, we still have yet to have a successful one. H1 almost made it, from my understanding. Guided, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but H1 as an eSport, like, it was close. Like, it was real close, and then PUBG just kind of stole the thunder. PUBG's eSports scene is... I feel like hasn't grown. It's probably diminished over the last year. Like, it grew really fast, and then just kind of died. Fortnite, yeah. I don't think has a true esports scene at all.
I don't think so.
I think the game's too random.
It's too young. It's too young.
It's too random.
Nah,
it's
that game is way too random to be esports, in my opinion.
Why, like, is it random? I'm not really paid.
Well, Guided, you can actually say something real quick. Go for it.
That's the reason why I stopped playing Fortnite, because it was way too random. You know what I mean? It's the fact that, like, you have, like, different tier guns, and it's just, so, like, the thing is, you have different tier guns, and it's, like, a complete random thing. Like, one gun is better than another gun, you know? It's pretty much RNG
so
at its
finest. But
the thing is, let me say this. The reason why I think Apex will work in a competitive stance is because all the guns are the same, but you can go around the map and find different attachments for that gun.
Yes.
So the thing is, it's the same gun, but you have, like, barrel stabilizers, pretty much, you know, it'll affect your recoil and stuff. It's just simple aesthetics to the gun. It's not. It's not a different.
And
it's
like
not a different gun. You
and
know
like
what I mean?
Yes, like a level 3 mag will help you in a gunfight, but you're only carrying another. 7 to 10 bullets, depending on the gun. Like,
yeah.
So I think one of the reasons Fortnite is so random, and I feel like we have pretty similar ideas about this, is there's different tier weapons. It's RNG at its finest. It's the same reason that people fell off of Advanced Warfare, in that you could play the game and in your first day get a supply drop that gives you the BAL Inferno, and your gun is literally better than other people's guns.
God,
like, the gun is actually better. Regardless of your skill, the gun is making you a better player. And Fortnite is very similar. If you happen to find a gold scar and a gold shotgun in the first minute of the game, you are literally going to kill people faster, unless you have potato aim.
You know, really interesting here, because, like, I didn't believe my sister when she said this, but she said that she really didn't think that the weapons in Fortnite had different statistics based on the tiers. And is there actual data out there that you can actually see and compare?
Watch a Drifter video. I don't know if you guys are fans of Drifter, but when he breaks down weapon stats, they're the best on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, because, yeah, I mean, like, you gotta break down the weapon stats.
I mean, I don't know if he has a ton for Fortnite, because I know he's not the biggest fan of the game, but I think he has a few.
Okay.
The one thing, I would say the best chance that Fortnite has at becoming a successful esport is if they take out certain random things like planes and, like, the typical dumb shit you hear about on Twitter.
Oh, God.
If they made the game a little bit more raw and, like, skill-focused, and then I think the number one thing is removing bloom.
Really?
Yeah, so the weapon bloom in that game is, I mean, it's not like it's horrible, but it's, the game itself is already random. The RNG, the weapon select, like the amount of weapons and then tiers of weapons that you can find is already so wide that it makes the game too random. And then you make it to where no matter how good your aim is, because of bloom, you are still going to miss certain bullets because of literal randomness. Like, if I have a gold scar and you have a gold scar and we're in a 1v1 and we both shoot an average of 87% accuracy, one of us is going to get lucky on one of the bullets.
Interesting. That's pretty weak.
That's been my biggest problem with one of my biggest problems, besides, like, explosives is number one. And number two, if you ever watch me stream Fortnite or if you ever play with me, I bitch about bloom relentlessly. Like, it's awful. Like, it's a hit scan game. With bloom. Riddle me that.
You make a good point. Do you think Fortnite, if it was, you know, do you think Fortnite could be narrowed down and set as a 3v3, 4v4 style game? Do you think it would ever work?
No.
No.
I'm going to say yes, because I'm open-minded, but given the time that we have to figure out how it would work, I'm not going to go into detail. Like, I would have to think this through. Like, I think it could work, but you would have to... You would basically fucking make a third person Halo, isn't like you'd have to turn the game into not Fortnite in a lot of ways.
Do you think that we'll ever see a building mechanic like Fortnite has in another game?
Yes, because someone's gonna copy it, whether it's good or not, I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So another thing, one thing we haven't really paid attention to is Blackout. We haven't been bringing it up as much because I think in all of our heads, we think Black Ops 4. We don't necessarily think Blackout. Blackout's a mode within a game, whereas the rest of these games, that is the game.
Well, I think that game is going to... Okay, first up, what's the state? Is it alive? Is it prospering?
It's dead.
It's dead.
Thank you. That's what I... Okay, so...
Okay, the majority of it is dead. I'll agree.
I don't know, like, I've never been less excited about, like,
so
watching...
One thing that's interesting is, like, Hex... Hex always says, like, Minecraft is the only game that he's become addicted to other than Call of Duty.
Uh-huh.
And then after that is Fortnite. Which even then, I think it took him a little bit of time to fall in love with Fortnite. Which I think is easy because it's so radically different than the rest of the games out there with the building mechanics. So, Blackout... Well, I guess Blackout's still Call of Duty. But it's like, that's pretty much all he plays when he plays Call... Like, I feel like Blackout's not dead because a large chunk of people playing Black Ops are playing Blackout. Yeah, it's like it's very split. Like you have your players that only play zombies. You have players that only play Blackout, and then you have the multiplayer, and then you have esports. You have four games in one. You're like you're very heavily dividing your community.
True.
And your player base.
There's a point there.
But Apex, and this is going to wrap back around to esports in battle royales. I honestly think that at this point in time, the battle royale that has the biggest chance is Apex because of, as Guided said, like all the guns are the same. There's a very small weapon pool. If you look at the amount of guns in the game, it's not very many. You have what, 3 assault rifles, 2 light machine guns. Yeah. Is it 3 subs? Prowler, R99. Is it 3?
Then you have like,
and then the alternator.
And then you have a whole lot of,
You have 4 snipers, 3 shotguns, and like 2 or 3 pistols. Like, you don't have a large weapon selection. And because there's not rarities, it's like, yeah, sure, if you look at the assault rifles in Fortnite, you have the SCAR, the Silent SCAR, the AK, and the M16. But then each of them have like 3 to 4 tiers. So it's like now you have fucking 20 versions of the assault rifle.
Okay.
So I think because of a small weapon pool, and then because the guns themselves are the only thing that can possibly change them is the attachments, because of those things, I think that it could be actually a successful esport.
So one other random thing here. Interesting about Fortnite is it's kind of a blend here in terms of static weapon drops on like a Halo game, for example, and being able to spawn with specific weapons like on Call of Duty, because I mean, like, of course, it's dynamic, and you don't know what you're gonna get, and you can't really pick your loadout.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to my original thing, do you think we're gonna see games, you know, ever go back to static weapons like we did, or like, you know, why do you think we ended up getting so far from static weapons?
I think battle royale is a temporary thing, to be honest.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think long term we revert back to static. Like, people are gonna get tired of random. Like, it's fun, it has a ton of replay value because it's random, but gaming is kind of moving a little bit more towards competitive stuff in general, and I feel like that drives us back to static weapons.
I'm kind of glad to hear that, because like I like static
weapons. We're all competitive players. Like, I feel like we're all glad to hear that.
No, yeah. for sure.
I want to ask,
what do we have for time right now,
Miles? I think we're close to an hour.
We're
at 58 minutes. Since I started recording. And yeah, you've been streaming a little longer than that, so.
I'm going to ask one more thing then, I guess, to wrap it up. This is kind of like random, but like, why do you guys think that like Halo 3 is the game that's like comeback? Like, I've never really seen a game, like an old game,
make that big of a comeback besides like the Smash games.
No, see, that's not the same because they never died.
I was like, I was going to say, it's not the same because they never made a comeback. They just...
Yeah, and
they've always been there. They haven't really died, but they haven't really grown a ton either.
I've never seen
an
old game make a comeback. What's the deal? Speculations?
Well, I believe that they're trying to make... Halo 3, in my opinion, was the most competitive Halo. Because it was something about that game. Like, I would go back to it. Like, There's this thing called Halo Online, which I'm gonna start playing. It's like a special mod you have to download to your computer.
So yeah, the Halo Online PC mod. I know about it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. Like, I haven't played it, obviously.
Haven't played it yet, but there's like, it's something about Halo that it's just heavily competitive.
So I think when you look at FPSs, the only game that rivals Halo is CS:GO. I think CS:GO comes out on top because it's just been around for so long.
Yeah.
But Halo, yeah, there's definitely something about Halo. I don't know if it's like our generation, kind of. It's the game we all grew up on, except for me. Like, I wasn't a Halo kid, but I feel like I have a decent amount of knowledge regarding other esports, even if I don't play them.
No, that's fair.
So, Halo, I recently watched a video of a guy breaking down the championship match between Tox and Denial in Halo 3. And this dude's a fucking nerd. He explained some shit that I would have never known about.
I've seen that video, and I wish I could do a breakdown for you, because I would do a breakdown just like that.
Like, dude, the shit about, like, dirtying weapons.
Yep, positioning, dirtying.
Yeah, you know, did you actually watch that video then?
No, I've seen it together. I knew about that stuff. I'm ridiculous.
Like, yeah, so,
I could get
dirtying weapons I didn't know about. Like, obviously, spawns is huge in Halo. Power weapons and drops are huge in timing. Like, that. There's a reason that through, Halo 1 through 3, you had a fucking coach whose primary job was just to keep timers on power-ups and stuff. Like, outside of that, he didn't really do much coaching. It was just, hey, we need someone else to keep track of this shit, because there's so many different power-ups and spawns that as players you can't keep track of it and focus on the gameplay at the same time. Like, it's too mentally demanding almost.
It's tough. We actually have to have an entire conversation about this at a later point, because I really want to talk about the future of, like, smart glass, augmented reality, and, like, things like that, how they might impact esports in the future.
Yeah, because, I definitely think, like, on a HUD basis, they have a lot of, they could impact the hell out of it.
Definitely.
Yo, JBaby99, thank you for the follow.
And the thing is, Call of Duty also has timing at this point with specialists and killstreaks and, like, the little micro things you have to keep track of in a match. But it's still not near what Halo, like, Halo fucking, the power weapon, think about this, Halo's the only fucking first person, the only shooter esport that has ever been able to successfully have team deathmatch as a competitive mode.
Yep.
Like, is that kind of fucking mind-blowing? Team Deathmatch is the least competitive mode in any shooter of all time. Halo turned it into the most competitive mode ever.
No, you have a good point.
Like, how? Because of power-ups and power weapons, and they made Team Deathmatch, instead of just Team Deathmatch, they made it to where you did have to rotate and keep track of stuff.
That's true.
Now, in that breakdown video, though, the guy kind of talks about how Halo 3 was a little weird, which in my head, Halo 3 has always been, like, the shooter esport. Like, it's always stood out to me. So it's interesting now for me to see this review and find out that the game itself had a lot of kind of weird, not necessarily broken mechanics, but just weird mechanics that actually point towards Halo 1 and 2 being a lot more competitive.
Well, the Halo 2... I think the difference is Halo 2 is interesting, because I think it's more of an individual, like, you can make so much happen as an individual, but I think it's really tough to make something happen as not tough, but, like, I don't think that there's something missing for the,
like,
team aspect.
You can carry more, essentially, in Halo 2.
It's the design of the maps, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, there's something about it that makes it tough to work with your team sometimes, because there's,
see, that's another thing. I know the fucking pit and a handful of other maps.
Fair enough.
So the map layout makes it a little weird.
It does. I guess when I think about it, I can see why Halo 3 is the game, because it's just it is an interesting. It's really strategy based more than anything. I don't think that shot
very team oriented.
Yeah. And nearly as much as other games. Like, there's a satisfaction of working with your team that you get in Halo 3 that you're not going to get in other games.
Well, you were around during the peak of the first three Halos, and especially the esports. So, from my understanding as well, Halo 2 was, on a competitive level, was actually very free-for-all driven compared to Halo 3. Like,
fair enough.
Like, there was actual free-for-all tournaments. Like, it was a fucking, like, the free-for-all competitive scene was a thing in Halo 2 from what I understand. That's true. Whereas in Halo 3, it didn't necessarily die, but it was not.
No, you're right.
Like Halo as much of a staple.
It made more sense, definitely, yeah. Because you could do insane things. Like there truly, was
truly. I mean, I don't know if this works for Halo, but in Call of Duty, I literally think that if you don't have a functioning free for all that actually makes sense, the rest of your game is trash.
Interesting. It's a bold statement, dude.
It is, but like being a big free for all player in Call of Duty, any Call of Duty game where the free for all made sense has been a game that I liked and just it made sense. Any Call of Duty game where the free for all seemed kind of random and spawns were a little weird has been a flawed game. And I think it's because free for all spawns most accurately represent spawning and rotating of maps and like positioning.
Okay.
I don't know. Like it's just something I've like kind of paid attention to for the last, I guess, almost 10 years now since Modern Warfare 2.
Good points here, definitely. I mean, like I don't know, like it's. You know, I wish. I don't know. I wonder if these companies are keeping track of data, like real actual data from one game to the next, and if they have like a consistent algorithm they're tweaking over like long periods of time to like actually improve.
I think Treyarch is. I don't know about the other two studios. Like, I think Treyarch's nerdy enough to fucking keep track of that.
Dude, I hope so.
Like, if you look at some of the tweets that Vonderhaar puts out, granted, Vonderhaar's almost never on Twitter, but if you look at the tweets that he puts out during, like, betas and stuff, it just seems like he's either full of shit or they're keeping track of the most insane micro data you can imagine.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Would love to work like with data on games because, man, that stuff is like war simulations as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Situational stuff. It's really interesting.
But I don't know. All in all, well, how do we want to wrap this up? I had a point that I was going to say, but I don't.
I think this is a good place to wrap it up. I think that, you know, we had like a good, you know, broad topic on
esports. We went into the different esports, the different battle royales, potential things that make them work, static weapons. Oh, I was going to ask Guided real quick. What has been... Oh, I guess you didn't really play Fortnite a ton. You said you just kind of stopped off after, like, Season 2. So it was kind of... It was kind of when we were talking about...
New season.
About, like, static weapons versus the randomness and RNG of Battle Royales. My favorite... Because Fortnite does limited time modes that it'll cycle in, like, every couple of updates. It'll have, like, 50v50 or Sniper Shootout. My favorite limited time mode that they've ever had is Solid Gold. So every weapon on the map is the gold variant. And the reason it's been my favorite is because it's the closest measure of skill in the game. Because if you're shooting with someone, like, you guys both have gold scars. The only downside to that is the RPG. The gold RPG kind of ruins the thing. But, like, other than that, solid gold is the most competitive mode that Fortnite has. And I think in order for... I think that kind of shows you that we will move back towards static weapons.
Yep.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All
right. Cool.
Also, let's wrap it up right here. We got to find out where we're uploading this to and stuff.
YouTube, for sure. YouTube. We should make a playlist. I actually didn't record
post it on your channel.
We're going to have a dedicated channel to it. We're going to have a dedicated anchor podcast to it.
So we might end up doing two different kinds of podcasts. We might have a general esports podcast, and we might have more of like a straight up like just state of like the, you know, business and world podcast because
marketing thing.
Well, exactly. Because it's just exactly, you nailed it. I want to get into more of the marketing stuff and kind of cover that side. But I think, you know, of course.
Yo, what up, Southern Cutie? Welcome to the stream.
What's up, Cutie?
So we might do two of them, but for sure we're going to be doing three meetings a week. We're going to be doing Sunday team night, Saturday podcast, and Friday meetings every single week. And that way we can, you know, stay on top of each, you know, what's being.
What was the last one? Oh, did you say Friday meetings?
Yeah, Friday meetings. We're probably going to change the date.
Dude,
Friday
I for meetings. Sure thought you said fighting meetings, and I was like, yeah, I ain't into fighting. Like, I don't know what I'm going to bring to the table. I was like, yeah, nah. You play fighting games and follow UFC. That's beyond my stuff.
I like martial arts. But
I'm gonna sign off. Cool.
All then, right, Guy, get that to do list to me.
I will.
All right, cool.
All right,
bye.
I'm outie.
All right, cool. Outie. Thanks, you guys. Peace.